This morning we're talking about be strong in the grace. If you're visiting with us, for the last 2 months I've been talking about the grace of God in all different aspects. And I hope it has been very helpful to you. Because it's all about the grace of God, amen? Amen. The Bible tells us in John 1 that from the fullness of His grace we have received one blessing after another. Amen. It is because of the grace of God, which is basically God's unmerited favor on us, that we don't deserve anything from God. If anything, what we deserve is punishment. What we deserve is wrath. That is what our sins have earned. But God, in His grace and in His mercy, He's forgiven us and He's adopted us and brought us into His kingdom and brought us into His church. And as a result of that, you and I are brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning verse 1, the Apostle Paul says something very interesting. He says, "You then, my son," talking to Timothy, "be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men, who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us, like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this." Amen? And then later on in verse 10, it says, "Therefore," again, this Paul is still talking about himself. He says, "Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Paul tells Timothy to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That tells me it is possible to be strong in the grace. If not, he wouldn't have said it. Are you with me? He says, "Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." He said, what is he talking about? See, if you back up to chapter 1, you know, he greets him. Then in verse 3, he says, "I thank God," 2 Timothy 1, "whom I serve as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline." Verse 8 says, "So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner. But join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death, and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed. And I'm convinced that he is able to guard what he has entrusted to me for that day. What you have heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. God, the good deposit that has been entrusted to you, guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us." You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including Phygellus and Hermogenes. May the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. May the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. You know very well in how many ways he helped me in Ephesus. And then he gives him the charge to be strong in the grace. You see what he's doing? He tells him to be strong in the grace because of the suffering that he's gone through. And he's saying, you know what? Do not be ashamed of me or what I'm going through. In other words, being a Christian, we are going to suffer sometimes. It's not going to be easy. It wasn't easy for Paul. If anything, Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they treated me this way, they will treat you this way also. Are you with me? Because a lot of times, you know, it's tough as a Christian. You know, some people don't agree with what you stand for and the way you're living your life. And they want to give you a hard time about it. They look at you as if there's something wrong with you. You believe in God? You actually go to church? It's like, you got this backwards. You are the one that something's wrong with. You see, we're going to suffer as Christians. There's going to be hard times. As a matter of fact, Ross just read it during the communion. But Jesus, when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. He said, the Bible says, he entrusted himself to him who was able to save him. Amen? And we got to do the same thing. That, yeah, when things get hard, that is the time to be strong in the grace. That is the time to endure hardship like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He says, as a result of that, we don't get involved in civilian matters. Because all we're trying to do is obey our commanding officer. Amen. Guess who our commanding officer is? Jesus. Amen? Amen. You know, every once in a while we sing this song around here, we are soldiers in the army. Okay, guess who the commander is? It's not me. Okay, I got a loud voice and I bark sometimes. But I'm not the commanding officer. I'm not the one saying, attention! That's God. Amen. Amen? That's who we're trying to please. That's our captain, so to speak. And that's why we need to be strong in that grace. Because there are going to be times when we're going to be down. And one of the things that we got to watch out for, especially during this season, is not take what I call a spiritual vacation. You know how it is when Christmas is coming up and, you know, we start buying stuff and, oh boy, I got to get a gift for him. I got to get a gift for her. We got to do this. You start making plans and that's all well and good. But what happens a lot of times is all of a sudden, we're not reading our Bibles every day like we're supposed to. All of a sudden, you're like, well, oh boy, I didn't pray today. I'll get to it tomorrow. Let's not do that. There's no way you're going to be strong in the grace if you do that. Remember what the Bible teaches. Satan is, you know, prowling around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. You don't want to come limping back in January, spiritually speaking. You and I need to be strong in the grace. You and I need to be very close to God during this period. Amen? You know, for me, one of the exciting parts about Christmas is the fact that the whole world is thinking about Jesus. Okay? The whole world is thinking about Jesus. What an incredible time to ask people, how well do you really know this Jesus? Do you know Jesus or do you really know him? And that's your in. Well, you now open up the Bible and say, let me show you who the real Jesus is. Jesus didn't come into this world so that you and I, during Christmas time, can decorate our homes and put up trees. That's not it. If you go do the research, it's actually a pagan holiday. Some of you are looking at me like I'm speaking Greek. I'm not making this stuff up. Actually a pagan holiday. Google it. Okay? You'll find out. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with Christmas. But we got to be very careful that we don't get sucked into all this stuff. Jesus came into this world to die for us. So that we can have a relationship with God. And so that one day we can spend eternity with him. That's why he came. Amen? Now, praise God, we can visit each other, we can go visit family, we can have fun, we can, you know, decorate the home. And there's nothing wrong with that. Personally, I love it, you know, when the decorations are up. I don't like putting decorations down, though. It's just very tedious. Maybe it's just me. All of a sudden, it's like Christmas is over. Man, I got to put all this stuff back in the box. You know, it's funny. I don't get that same feeling when you're putting this stuff up. You know, you put all this stuff up and the lights are, it's like, oh, this is nice. I don't look forward to January 2nd because all that stuff is going to go down. You know, I thought about this the other day. This got nothing to do with the lesson. Forgive me for digressing. I'm thinking, you know what? We put the tree up, we put the lights up. Let's just leave there. Just leave it there for 12 months. I'm actually thinking of doing it. I'm just leave the tree up the entire year. Say, Richard, what's this still doing up? Well, I don't have to put it up next year. It's just a thought. But I had that thought the other day. I'm serious. But you see, we got to make sure that we're in, excuse me, let's go back to the Bible. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 2:10, it says, therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Amen? Look at Paul's mindset. He says, I endure everything for the sake of God's children. Remember, 2 Timothy was the last book that Paul wrote. These were his last words to Timothy, quote unquote, his son in the faith. And he's telling him to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. He's telling him, you know what, when you suffer, hang in there. Be strong. The whole book, if you think about it, 2 Timothy is talking about perseverance and not giving up. And that's why it tells us in chapter 4, you know, there's going to come a time when men are going to put up with sound doctrine. He said, instead, they're going to gather around them a great number of teachers to tell them what their itching ears want to hear. But it says, you keep your head in all situations. Continue to preach the gospel in season and out of season. Amen? In other words, we can't take a break from this as Christians. What's the season right now? It's the season to preach God's word. It's always the season. It's always about perseverance and not giving up. And so I don't want us in the next several weeks to think, you know what? Things are slowing down. Christmas is about to come. Let me just shut this stuff down. Let me put it on cruise. Don't do that. That is what the devil wants us to do. This is the time to be strong in Christ, in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Amen? That word strong in the Greek is spelled E-N-D-U-N-A-M-O-O. It's pronounced endunamoho. And do not more whole. It means to receive strength. It means to be strengthened. It means to increase in strength. I believe being strong implies several things. Number one, that you and I need to be ready for action. It says be strong. In other words, things are not going to be easy. If anything, things are going to be tough. Again, this season for a lot of people is also a very depressing time. Because, for instance, if you've lost a loved one this year, all of a sudden, that person is not going to be around this Christmas time. It's tough. It's not easy. That's the time we need to rely more on God. Amen? And so it's very important that we be strong. We need to get ourselves ready for action. One commentator writes, he says, as our trials increase, we need to grow stronger in that which is good. Our faith stronger, our resolution stronger, our love to God and Christ stronger. This is opposed to our being strong in our own strength. All Christians, but especially ministers, must be faithful to their captain and resolute in his cause. The great care of a Christian must be to please Christ. We are to strive to get the mastery of our lusts and corruptions, but we cannot expect the prize unless we observe the laws. We must take care that we do good in a right manner, that our good may not be spoken evil of. Some who are active spend their zeal about outward forms and doubtful disputations. But those who strive lawfully shall be crowned at last. If we will partake the fruits, we must labor. If we would gain the prize, we must run the race. We must do the will of God before we receive the promises, for which reason we need of patience. You see, it's time to get our minds ready for action. Another thing I believe about being strong is to be resolute. Being resolute means, you know what? I must stick this thing out. There is no turning back. There is no going back. I got my face and my direction going in one direction, and there's nothing that's going to stop me. Amen? The walk is going to be hard. It's always been hard. Amen? When we feel like giving up, we got to decide to be resolute. You can write this reference down. 1 Chronicles 28 in verse 10. 1 Chronicles 28 verse 10. David is giving his charge to Solomon. He says, "Consider now, for the Lord God has chosen you to build a temple as a sanctuary. Be strong," he said to his son, "and do the work." The same word that is used in 2 Timothy 1. David said to his son, Solomon, as he was getting ready to build the temple, he says, be strong. And if you go back and read the book, obviously, it took him many, many years to build the temple. It tells you something about Solomon's heart too, because you realize, after looking at the whole story, that he spent more time, double the time, building his palace compared to the temple. But that's a different day, different sermon. But he called him to be strong. In other words, to get the job done. Don't go halfway. Don't go 70%. Don't go 90%. Go 100%. If we're going to be strong, we have to be resolute. We got to become men and women who have an attitude of, you know what, I am going to finish what I started. Anybody can start something. The question is, do you have the strength? Are you resolute enough to finish? Amen? Amen? And that's what's important. You know, a lot of us, we love to watch athletics. And one of the things that, for me, I find very encouraging is when you see a lot of these long-distance runners, usually, you know, the guy who's coming in first, second, and the person coming in third is already decided. Okay? Those guys are way ahead. And you notice all the other guys, they make a point to finish their race. Why is that? I mean, think about this. Your country has spent money on you to send you to the Olympic Games, let's say 5,000 meters. And you start, and you're competing with the East Africans. Okay, they always win. All right? It's amazing right now. A lot of athletes from the West, they actually go down to East Africa and start training. And you may ask, how come they're so good? See, what happens is these guys all year long, they're training at an altitude of 10,000 feet above sea level, running miles every day at that altitude. So what happens is when they get to sea level with all this oxygen, I mean, they are just going. And again, you'll notice also their muscle mass. They're built a certain way. Okay? I could never do long distance running. I mean, I'm too big bone for it. Okay? I would come in last every time, I promise you. But again, imagine your country sending you to the Olympics. 5,000 meters. Okay, yeah, the East Africans are up front. They're going to win gold medal, gold, silver, and bronze. Okay? They even lap you as you're going around the track. It happens. How would you feel if your country is watching, all of a sudden, you know what? I'm not even coming in 10th. Why bother? Let me just slow down and get out of the race. I promise you, when you get back home, there are going to be people at the airport booing you. Why? Because you did not finish the race. Countries don't send you just to go start the race. They send you there to finish it. Now, if you get a medal, praise God. And that's why you see those guys not quitting. Even sometimes when somebody sustains an injury, they make sure that they finish. The same thing is true, brothers and sisters, spiritually speaking. For all of us in here, we all started this race at some point. For me, it was almost 28 years ago. For some of us, it's been more recent. But that's okay. You got to make sure you finish this race. Because Satan doesn't want you to be strong. Satan doesn't want you to finish. Satan wants you to get down. Satan wants you to feel like, you know, you're a loser. The race is not over. What do you mean I'm a loser? I'm going to cross that finish line. We are not going to give the devil the satisfaction by giving up. Amen? That's got to be our mindset, that we're resolute. That we're going to finish what we started. Because if you don't, if you are not resolute, I promise you, you will give up. One day you will turn your back. I've been a Christian now 28 years. I have never, and I'm not boasting, I've never thought of leaving God. Have I struggled spiritually? Yes, everybody does. I have my moments, just like you have yours. But my attitude is, I would rather die than forsake God. I would rather die than go back to the life I used to live. That's got to be our mindset about our walk with the Lord. We got to remain resolute, amen? And number three, as part of being strong, we need to be courageous. Look in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, you know the passage I'm going to read, in verse 10. In Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 10, it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Same word. It says, put on the full armor of God that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to take your stand, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. And it goes on, talking about putting on the full armor of God. Again, it tells us here to be strong in the power, to be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Notice, it doesn't say our power. There's a song, I got the power. Nothing could be farthest from the truth. Okay? We ain't singing that song. God's got the power. That is the power in which you and I need to rest in and depend on. Amen? We got to put on the full armor of God. In other words, we're relying on the Holy Spirit and the grace of God for our strength. So let me ask you, what is the source of our spiritual strength? It's the grace of God. It is the grace that is in Christ Jesus. When we repented and got baptized, we got the forgiveness of our sins, and God deposited His Holy Spirit inside of us. The Bible says, as a guarantee of things to come. He sealed us. Placed a seal of ownership on us. Amen? That's exciting to me. I am God's son. You are God's child. We need to be strong in that grace. That was why Paul was able to say in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. It's not that you and I have any kind of power of our own. All the power we have comes from the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. Amen? But like Paul, I pray that all of us will be able to say, you know what? I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Amen? Amen? Now look in Psalm 121. My favorite psalm. We got to look at it. As we're talking about this, we're talking about being strong in grace. We're talking about getting our strength from God. The psalmist writes, Psalm 121, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? Oh, I feel like breakdancing. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. So when you think, oh man, life is tough, things are tough, whatever, lift up your eyes. Where does your help come from? Your help needs to come from God. Amen. Amen? You've heard me say this so many times, but I'll say it again. It's worth repeating. No matter what it is I'm going through, no matter how hard it gets, I am going to go pray. I'm going to go put all those problems, all those issues, I'm going to go put it before God. Amen. And I'm not going to start praying until I feel better. Amen. A lot of times what happens is I'm praying and then I fall asleep. And guess what? When I wake up, I always feel better. Because I'm not going before the throne of God, before the throne of grace, putting all my problems there. What's the point? And then you get up and you take it with you. It doesn't make sense. You gotta go before God's throne and you leave all that stuff there. Amen. Knowing that, hey, you and I are his children, he cares for us, he hears us, and in his time, he will bring those things about. Amen? Amen. To me, this is very encouraging. God never gets tired. That's amazing to me. This guy has never slept for all eternity. Are you kidding me? I think the longest I've gone without sleep is 2 days. It wasn't fun. I started to hallucinate. It's not easy. But the Bible tells us the God that watches over us does not slumber, he does not sleep. Constant. 24/7. Every day, every hour, every month, he's watching over you and me. That should be very comforting to us. But you see, the question is, are we getting our strength from him? Or are we relying on our own strength? If you rely, the arm of flesh will fail you. Always. This flesh gets tired. This flesh can't do it. You know, sometimes, you know, I'm talking to a brother or sister, you know, and they'll tell me, oh, well, I'm going through this, or I'm going through this, or I'm feeling this way, I'm feeling this way, and I listen. And ultimately, the question then becomes, you know, sister, brother, how's your walk with the Lord? Well, yeah, I've read my Bible only once this week. Ouch. No wonder you're tired. You know, this, you see all these wires up here, all these gadgets, all these mics, they're all plugged. There's a power source. You see, if I pull that thing out of the wall, everything goes dead out here. We got to make sure that we're plugged in. That's what John 15 talks about. Go ahead and turn there. And I'm going to start wrapping this stuff up. John chapter 15. Again, a passage we're very familiar with. John chapter 15, beginning verse 5. Jesus says, I am the vine. We are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Jesus says, he is the vine. We are the branches. Okay? You know what I'm talking about. If you look at any tree, you can see the trunk, and you can see all these branches sticking out. You see branches sticking out from the branches. But where are they getting their nourishment from? It's from the center, from the trunk. Amen? If you think about it, when you look at a tree, physical tree, those branches that are way out there, that are like on the third and fourth level, branches of branches of branches and branches, those guys that are way out there, personally, I think they have it rough. Because they're absolutely dependent on everybody else in that chain before it gets to them. Now, praise God, I believe in the kingdom, it's not like that. He says, you know what? I'm the true vine and you are the branches. Are you with me? But the important thing is that we've got to make sure that we're getting our nourishment from the Almighty. We've got to make sure that we're plugged into the power source. I'm assuming a lot of people in this room, I'm not talking of the kids, all the adults in the room have a cell phone. A cellular phone. Okay? Those things didn't exist 20 years ago. All right? I'm still looking for ways to get rid of mine. I mean, think about it. 20 years ago, what did we do? We lived. You wanted to see somebody, you had to go to their house physically. But anyway, the advantage is the cell phones. But chances are, every night, you got to recharge that cell phone. Okay? If you don't recharge that cell phone, guess what? The battery is going to die out on you. I don't care if it's an iPhone 5 or Samsung 3 or whatever. I mean, Android. I mean, they got all this fancy stuff now. I mean, those things are talking to you. But you still got to charge them up. As awesome as that thing is, if you don't recharge it, it is going to die. Right? The same thing is true, spiritually speaking. If we recharge our cell phones every day, how much more our souls? I mean, if I have to charge up that cell phone every day, I have a routine. You're probably like me, where the wire is next to my bed. That's the last thing I do before I get into bed. I bring that thing up, I plug it to it, and then I go to sleep. Because there have been times when I've forgotten the phone downstairs, and you go back there the next morning, it's like, uh-oh, the battery is almost dead. I need to go plug this thing in. I'm not even sure if I'm going to lose all my data. Believe me, I don't even know how to do that stuff. But it's important that we recharge. It's important that we stay in the vine. That's how we're going to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So brothers and sisters, I'm appealing to us. During this Christmas season, let's not take a spiritual vacation. Let's be strong in the grace. Amen. One of the things I thought about was, you know what? Why don't we all study out a book in the Bible? Today is December 2nd. Okay? I know some of you have not had your time with the Lord today. And this sermon ain't it. You still need to go spend some time with the Lord, okay? That's right. Here's what I thought we could all do. How about we all study out the book of Proverbs during the month of December? You say, well, today's December 2nd. Yeah, so today you need to read Proverbs chapter 1 and Proverbs chapter 2. There are awesome verses in there, written by the wisest man that ever lived. And let's all do it together. Amen. Okay? So every day, December 7th, chapter 7. Now, if there's all this stuff that you're doing, that's fine. But I thought this is something that we can all do together as a church. Amen. To be strong in God's word. Amen? Amen. And I think that'll be exciting. There are 31 days in December. There are 31 chapters in Proverbs. Wow. All right? Yep. So we're one day late, but that's okay. We'll catch up. Amen. I trust you'll catch up. Amen? Amen? So before you go to bed tonight, take the time, read chapters 1 and 2. If you want to mark things in your Bible, fine. If you want to take notes, that's entirely up to you. But let's all do it together. Amen. And I pray that this December will be different for all of us, because we would have decided to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen.
Let us go to God in prayer. Father God in heaven, thank you so much for your grace, Father God. Thank you so much for your mercy, Father God. Father God, in this break, let us not become lukewarm, Father God, but share in your suffering, Father God, like good soldiers. Father God, help us to always be ready, Father God, for action. Help us to always be resolute, never giving up, Father God, never losing hope. And help us to always have courage, Father God. Always be courageous, Father God. Father God, thank you so much for your grace, Father God. Help us to take hold of that, Father God. It's in your holy name we pray, Father. Amen.